Colossians 1, verse number 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. It's going to contain so many good truths, but Lord, we're going to look at one main truth tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll challenge our hearts individually as a church, Lord. Thank you for these epistles that are written to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, local assemblies. Lord, I don't want to just study things that were going on in this church. I want to apply those same principles to ours and help us to be better for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. It's good to look around. Good to see you. Good attendance on a Wednesday night. Thank you for being here, being faithful in your place. I want to talk about this subject tonight, a church's reputation, a church's reputation. We see that the verse number 4, we see a little phrase that begins the verse, since we heard of your faith, since we heard of your faith. So Paul's no longer there. What he's deducing about their situation, he has to deduce from what he hears. Now think about that a minute. We are oftentimes, and I'm going to kind of warn us all a little bit about basing everything you believe on hearsay. You've heard of that, hearsay. And so, well, preacher, is that what Paul's doing? Is he making a mistake here? Should he not base his concerns in this book? He's going to bring up some things that he's, by the way, tonight we're going to talk about the good reputation. They have the good things that he heard about them, some good things. But later on in the book, he's going to deal with some issues that no doubt he also heard. And where's the line on that? Now, what is this matter of reputation? Is a reputation always fair? Is it always accurate? No, it's not. And so we're going to learn some things that I think will help you as far as this matter of not only you wanting to maintain your good reputation. I think I like the word maybe testimony better. It's a good Bible word. Reputation is also found in the Bible, but I like that word testimony. We ought to be very conscious of our testimony. And I think we ought to be very careful. The Bible says don't just abstain from evil, even the appearance of evil. I think we ought to just be, and man, if I'm going to err, let me err on the side of right. Let me err on the side of purity. Let me err on the side of holiness. Let me get way over here where I can't even present a shadow of concern in the hearts of my family or my friends or the community concerning something I may be doing or being involved with. And I think that that's very important individually for our own reputation. But as a member of a local assembly, remember, folks, whatever I do and whatever you do is also going to cast light on your local assembly. It's going to cast light on your church. And so Paul is saying, now, I've heard some things. Well, should he be listening? Should he be believing it? Should he write a whole letter based on what he heard? Now, I'm going to give you the answer right now. If you are going to base something, whether you believe it or don't believe it, on what you hear, remember what Grandma used to tell you? You better consider the source. Consider the source. Listen, they didn't have telephones, okay? He couldn't Skype one of their services and check it out. Okay, there was no live streaming going on. Much of what they heard and learned about people was passed through. This traveler, given the information to this traveler, sometimes this person come from a distance. But I want to show you that Paul, and to defend this right away, he did not just listen to anybody and believe them. And I'm going to talk to you about that, the reputation of the church. Who is this man that he got this information from? The Bible says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith, in verse number 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So here he's identifying where he got his information. By the way, that's important. I'm going to show you that that's not the only time that the Apostle Paul did this. He said, now listen, I have somebody that is a faithful minister to you that's been involved in that ministry. And you know what? He's traveled now to me, and he's given me what he believes is a good and honest report based on that man's reputation. Well, there's a Bible principle here. Before you believe what somebody else says about someone else's reputation, why don't you consider their reputation? Okay, that's a good filter right there that'll help you in life. Because there are people that would, I'm sure there were people, if this church is like any other church that's ever existed, there was probably some people walking around saying negative things about them and bad things about them. But wait a minute, let me ask you this, you answer this in your heart. Do you think that the people were doing that could be described as a dear fellow servant? Do you think that they were in the trenches involved in the ministry there? Do you think the people that were doing that could be described as a faithful minister of Christ? And, you know, the thing about it is, listen, I'm sure Paul heard things from scrupulous sources, unfaithful, unworthy sources. And then people heard things from people that actually were there doing the work involved and had a track record of loving that place and investing in that place. And you got, listen, this is what I'm going to say. With the technology out there, folks, everybody that's got a computer and can log on somewhere can make them set themselves up as an expert on anything. And, I don't know how you fight it. I doubt if there's anybody in this room, just personally in your own life, you just first of all apply this personally, that hasn't had somebody say something about you that just was absolutely untrue. And maybe they just didn't say it to one or two people. Maybe they got on to where a group of people heard it. Maybe even there you're worried about how many of my fellow church members. Well, you know what I'd say to everybody? Before you believe anything about anybody in this room, why don't you consider the source? Why don't you consider the source and be very careful about what you believe and what you don't believe? Let me show you another example of this. We'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. You think about all that Paul had to deal with in the book of Corinthians with the church of Corinth and all of the different situations in that church that he had heard about that he had to deal with. And can you imagine? I mean, listen, if you're going to sit down and write this, and somebody's reported that this church has all these problems, you better make sure that your source is right, okay? And so Paul bases the entire penning of a letter under inspiration based on the report of an individual. I'm going to show you who that is, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now there's a couple of things that Paul does in both these instances that I think we can learn something from. I don't know who this is, but Paul had enough faith in them that if they said it, they're there, they're proven brethren, that you know what, he was willing to put his reputation on the line to address issues that he heard about that had been declared unto him. Now, a couple things about this. I learned a great lesson. One thing Brother Howes taught us as young ministers was this. He said, you know, you can imagine the size church he had. He said, also at my office sometimes, and people have shoved letters under my door, and I get anonymous letters, and I get letters in the mail. He always said this, when I open a letter, the first thing I look for is to see if it's signed. If there's not a return address on it, and I look and it's not signed, he said, I never read it, I crumble it up and throw it in the trash. Now folks, listen to me. If somebody's not willing to put their name to what they're saying, then don't believe it. Okay, if I'm going to say something, I'll put my name to it. These people, he didn't say, hey, I just heard from hearsay. He said, let me tell you who I heard it from. Okay? Sometimes, and this happened very, very few times in ministry. I don't know if it's ever happened in this church. It happened a few times when I was in Brazil where somebody came to me and they said, well, I just want you to tell you that there's some people in the church that are saying this. And I said, who are they? Well, I just don't feel like I should tell you exactly. I said, stop. Don't you ever come to me with hearsay. Don't ever come to me proposing to know what somebody else said, and they don't have the guts to put their name to it, or they didn't have the guts to walk in and say it to me, okay? You know what, sir, why are they coming to you? All right, you're a snake, you're a wolf. You want church people coming to you, and then you come to me saying, well, I'm going to protect them, but I'm, you know what, I ain't got 5 seconds patience with that nonsense. If you got something to say to Jerry Roth, come talk to me. If I've got something to say to you, I'll come talk to you. If somebody comes to you and says, Pastor Jerry Roth said this about you, then why don't you come and ask me? I'll do the same for you. And then let's go together and shoot the buzzard that told the lie. All right, now listen, if everybody just stop this nonsense, make people own their words and stand by what they say. A lot of times, you know, I mean, you don't want to cure this. You got people in the church like to come to you and say, well, you know what, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, so-and-so said this. Grab that person by the arm and say, let's go talk to so-and-so right now. Come on, let's go together and let's talk to so-and-so. And they'll be going, oh, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? They won't come to you anymore. All right, now let me just say this, folks. There's a lot of ways that you can help your church. And one of it is if somebody's not going to put their name to it, I don't care to know it. I don't care to know it. I've had a couple of calls, not a lot, maybe two or three in the 12 years. Somebody will answer the phone. They'll say, hello, and I'll say, Pastor, is this Pastor Ross? Yes. I said, who's this? Well, I don't really want to say, but I've got some information. And I will always say, excuse me, if you are not going to tell me who you are, I don't have time for you. Goodbye. Click. Every single time I do it. And if we'd all just live like that, you know, folks, listen, if it's something that's important, something that's true, why wouldn't you want to put your name to it? Okay? And so one of the things that Paul does here is says, listen, I'm not going to tell you just what I heard. I'm going to tell you who I heard it from. Okay? And so that's a good way to just kind of protect your church and protect each other, stand with each other, okay? Now, you know, what kind of man was this? Who did Paul hear this from, preacher? As I mentioned in verse 7 and 8, we have this man named by name. He is one who is dear, which means beloved. A man with a history of loving God and loving God's people. One who's a fellow servant, a co-slave, that means. A minister of the same master. One who is faithful to Christ, faithful in service. One who is a minister of Christ, an attendant, a waiter. One who runs errands, serves God, is actively engaged in God's work. Paul believed the report of Epaphras gave him concerning the church in Colossae because Epaphras was a dear brother, beloved man in the church, fellow servant with a track record of faithfulness and service. He was a man who was actively engaged in the work of the Lord. Look at me, church. Stop believing what backsliders say. Stop believing what fornicators say. Stop believing what liars say. All right? Why would you give credence to anything they say? Okay? Anything they say. All right? Most people who are outside of God's will regularly take shots at people that are inside God's will. Most people that have turned their back on the Lord will shoot at anybody that hasn't turned their back on the Lord. You know what? The problem isn't what they're talking about. The problem is their heart. Okay? Why do they feel like they got to always come to you and try to talk somebody else down? What's their real issue? You can help them. You really want to help them? Say, just stop and say, wait a minute. Why are you telling me something about somebody else that's in church and you're not even in church? Why are you telling me about somebody else, supposedly what they did, and look at what you're involved in right now? Don't come to me telling me anything bad about anybody that at least is in church trying. Until you get back in church and start trying. And you'll shut that door. You'll get a reputation as one that, you got to want that reputation. Hey, do you like the little dirt? Do you like the little gossip? I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to shut that because then people wouldn't come and tell me all this little stuff. All right? I'm helping you right now. Some of you struggle in your spirit because you're always hearing a bunch of junk or you're always on somebody's Facebook page reading a bunch of lies. And you come to church, and you think everybody knows what you know, and everybody believes what you've read. I'm never on Facebook. I don't know. You know, I don't care. I couldn't pastor this church and be on Facebook. I'd come in so mad every single Sunday and have to fix everything. I don't care. I'm not going to live like that, okay? Because most of that stuff's a bunch of lying gossip anyway. So, And we were passing out those baskets. You know, remember when we did that several years ago, the businesses and stuff, and I won't tell you where or who, but in town, right here in Jacksonville, I delivered one of those baskets to a group of men. And one of the men, I could tell, was just almost hostile that I was there. And I finally looked at him and I said, my name is Pastor Jerry Ross. Have we met? And he's, no. And I said, have I ever done anything to you? And he said, well, I don't want that. I don't want a part of that. I know all about your church. He's saying this in front of other men. So I looked at him and I said, sir, you know, have you been to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Have you ever walked in the door, Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Well, no. And I said, okay. I said, let me just say this, and I don't know you, and I hold no ought in my heart against you. And you know what? I walked in here, as far as I'm concerned, you're my friend, and I'll be your friend when I leave. But I said, you're going to have to just make a decision. Are you going to base what you believe about a church, any church in this community, on a bunch of small-town gossip? Or are you going to walk in the door and look at it and see it for yourself and make a decision? I said, that's up to you and your integrity. But I wouldn't believe anything in this town anybody said about some place that I haven't been to and actually seen with my own eye. I said, so, I smiled, why don't you come Sunday? I said, we may be as horrible as everybody said, and you can go out and validate it then. Or you might find out that there's a good group of imperfect but sincere people that show up every Sunday doing their best to serve the Lord. I said, well, why don't you just give it a chance? Well, it changed the entire atmosphere of the other men in that room, and that guy really, he was still mad, but he couldn't really say anything, you know. But I thought, how many times has he sat around amongst these group of men bad-mouthing a church that he's never even been to? I think that kind of stuff drives me crazy, man, but what do you do about it, you know? All right, amen. I guess you do what I just did about it if you get the opportunity. Now, well, we've heard about the reputation. We've heard, but what was, preacher, what was their reputation? If you got a pen and you want to underline or circle three words in verse 4 and 5, this is kind of really neat the way what they are known for. Okay, since we have heard, so there's a reputation. There's things being said about this church, things being carried back to Paul about this church. Oh, I hope these things are said of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's three things. There's the word faith in verse 4. There's the word love in verse 4. And there's the word hope in verse number 5. Faith, love, and hope. Now think about that. We'll read it. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Man, if I had one, I'd like that reputation. I'd like to have that reputation. Individually, I want that reputation. You know, that preacher, I know people think he's half crazy, but he'll step out by faith on stuff. That guy has faith in Jesus Christ. That church has faith in Jesus Christ. Faith enough to claim things. Faith enough to step out. Faith enough to try things, you know. Why not? And then they talk about, and of the love which you have to all, A-L-L, all saints. I want that reputation. I mean, if people in the community said, well, I don't know a whole lot about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I'll tell you, man, they're a church that steps out by faith. And there's a church that has a love for people, love for all the saints. I like that. And then you see this word hope, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That hope, as I talked about last Sunday night when we were in Titus, that hope is talking about an excited expectation or anticipation for the not only the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but of all things heavenly, because it says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, I'm going to say the three words again, and tell me if there's a verse that comes to mind. Here's the three words, faith and hope and love. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13? Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The word charity there, same word in the Greek, agape is And here, same exact word, love, charity. Sometimes it's translated both different ways. Now abide a faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Now that's neat because you see you've got faith, love, and hope mentioned in verse 4 and 5. Now look down at verse number 8. Who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit? Hey, they got mentioned twice about love. Love to all the saints and love in the Spirit. You know what that tells me? Faith wasn't mentioned twice. Okay, hope wasn't mentioned twice. Love was mentioned twice. You know what? They not only had these three very important ingredients, but they had the emphasis on the most important one. The greatest of these is love. What a reputation to strive for. And I got to thinking about that. I asked myself, and I'll ask you, we'll just look at it together. And I don't know if we, you know, sometimes the worst person that can really decide something like this or answer something like this is maybe we're not the ones, because it's hard to judge what other people say about us. I mean, I'm me, you know. So, but I wrote this down. Does Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a reputation of faith? Does Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a reputation of hoping and hoping, of having hope in the eternal things? Does Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a reputation of love? Let's just look at these three, okay? How important is faith? Man alive, faith is huge. Faith in Christ. That's what it says. They had a reputation for having faith in Christ. I mean, how big is faith? Without it, we can't be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But folks, listen, faith isn't just there to get us saved. The Bible says three different times, the just shall live by faith. Once we're saved, we're supposed to live by faith. We can't please God without faith. Hebrews, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now listen, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I got saved by faith, but the life that I now live, you know what? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Folks, I want to just declare this. You know what? I have full-hearted faith in Jesus Christ, not just to have saved me, but to keep me. And you know what? I mean, I've given my life to following him. I've given my life to try to be like him. I mean, that's where my faith lies. You know, wherever he leads, I'll go. And sometimes, you know, he leads this church to step out in some ways. And I'm just thinking about all of the things that I've walked into a men's meeting over in the last 10 years and looked around at the guys and said, okay, here we go. Put your seatbelt on. Guys, there's a church. It's over in Bloomfield, and they're going to shut the doors. And I think we got a chance to get it. And we're going to have to pay the bills for a while. And we're going to try to get a preacher in there. And you know what? Right there, you know what? There could have been good men, that raise their hand and say, preacher, you know what? I mean, sometimes we don't have a whole lot of extra here, but it's so awesome to pastor a church where our men look at a situation like that and just say, well, you know, preacher, did you pray about it? Are you sure about it? I think I am. What do you guys think? Let's do it. And I got a chance, you know, last Sunday night to go over there. I mean, I wouldn't have, if it wasn't for the faith of this church, I wouldn't have had a blizzard last Sunday night. You know, I think of the rewards of faith, you know. Praise God. You know, it does pay off to follow the Lord. And but, you know, I walk in that church and I look at that, and here they had 60-some people, and I think that he told me that they've had 9 saved since the first of the year, and just things going on, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you know, that was an enormous step for our church. Now, that wasn't as big a step as the next church plant, because, you know, the Lord just, we didn't have to raise a bunch of money and buy land or do anything. We just, they gave it to us. But we still had to step out by faith. I felt like that was the Lord prepping us. If we'd be willing to do that, we'd be willing to do the next thing. You know, it is, I just want to tell you, thank you, that there's an excitement in this church about stretching ourselves and trying new things. And, I mean, I told somebody this story the other day. You remember that first trip we took out to Washington, D.C.? And me and a couple of guys were in the office with Ron Allen, and I said, what else can we do with this book, Grace Will Lead Me Home? What can we do with this thing? And somebody said, well, why don't we go to Washington, D.C.? And I thought, oh, no, we can go to Washington, D.C. And then we start talking about it. Well, that's where all the veterans come on Memorial Day. We could, man, they start talking about it. I start getting excited. So I come up here, and I said, okay, folks, I got this really crazy idea, and I'd like to get 8 or 10, 12 guys to go with me in a van to Washington, D.C., and we'll stand at the war memorials, and we'll pass out these things, and, you know, we'll get printed, you know, 6 or 7,000 of them, see if we can pass them out. And I put a sign-up list, just pray about it. And, you know, that was the same service I announced it. At the end of the service, I walked by there, and I had like 13 or 14 blanks on the paper. There were names all over that paper. There were 61 church members signed up for that. And I'm going to just tell you, you have no idea until you're the pastor. And I just put my hand on that thing, tears running down my face. And I thought, you know, here I have about this much of a vision. And I don't, and but man, you guys cost me money. Oh my goodness sake. I was just going to throw us in a van and go. Now I'm renting a charter bus. I've got to get motel rooms. I mean, you know, but you know what? 61 people went out there. And 16,000 veterans, we shook their hands and passed them a copy of Grace Will Lead Me Home. One of the most life-changing weekends of my life, that weekend. And I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's next, but thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for being a church. I know preachers that, I mean, if they have a business meeting or they have a men's meeting and they suggest anything, there's 15 hands going up, immediately going like this. I mean, that's just the whole spirit of the church is we can't spend an extra dime. We can't do anything. We can't do this. We can't. We've never done that before. So we, well, you know what? When's the last time you did something for the first time? And that's what the walk of faith really is. I don't care where you're at. God always wants to stretch you to try to take you to the next level. And so that's what stepping out by faith is all about. That's what it is. It's going to be something for our church. It may be something very individual, different in your personal life. But don't be surprised if God just doesn't stretch you and push you and take you out of your comfort zone and say, would you be willing to? And could you try? And man, I don't know. I don't know if it's the way I'm wired. I don't know if I just need, you know, therapy. I don't know what it is. But I like trying things like that. I like doing things like that. I don't want, listen, I think the minute that you plateau and you quit, whether or not you're still breathing, you're dying. And I think anybody that doesn't push forward in their Christian life and try to go to another level, try something brand new, you're going to stagnate, folks. I mean, you know what? A rut, I'm just in a rut. A rut's just a grave with two ends knocked out. All right? So if you're in a rut and you've been in a rut, get out of the rut. I mean, wouldn't it be neat if you went home tonight, got down on your knees and just said, Lord, what do I need to do? I've kind of just been coasting. Push me a little. Challenge me a little. Dare me a little. I like that stuff. I like it. All right. So I wanted to ask that question. Do we have that reputation? Does Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a reputation of hope? Hope in the eternal things. The Bible says, since we heard of your faith, then verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And when it came to them, their hope, and again, remember that word hope is not, well, I hope it happens, but it's talking about an expectation, an excitement about heavenly things. And I thought about that. You know, it's in our name. You know, it'd be a shame if it's in our name and it's not in our hearts. And I just think that, you know, there ought to be an anticipation, excitement about the things of the Lord, an excitement about the Lord's return, an excitement about heavenly things, an excitement about what the Lord's reserved in heaven for us. And it says that they got this hope as part of receiving the gospel. Do you see that verse 5? For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, they're talking about hope in, let me say it again, which is laid up for you in heaven, hope in the heavenlies, hope in what's waiting for us in heaven. They were presented that when they were presented the gospel. And I got to thinking, you know what? I'm not sure that we don't need to spend a little more time talking about a little more things when we're talking about salvation. And if you think about salvation, the message of salvation involves extreme contrasts. Now think about this. What does salvation cause men to look at? Well, we have to face the sinfulness of man, and then that's contrasted with the righteousness of God. The horrors of hell contrasted with the wonders of heaven. The unworthiness of men contrasted by the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin contrasted with the gift of God. The pride of rejecting God's gift contrasted with the humility of receiving God's gift. The consequences of unbelief contrasted with the rewards of belief. And if you think about that, salvation is just kind of saying, folks, this is where we're at. And by the way, that's where we're headed. But let me tell you what's available. And I'm all for talking about hell. I think in the plan of salvation, we ought to spend some time talking about hell. But I got kind of convicted about this because you know where their hope for the heavenly things began? When they heard, the first time they heard the word of the truth of the gospel. And so the Lord kind of told me, all right, when you're going through the plan of salvation, You know, I like going back to Revelations 21:8. I want them to see that lake of fire. I want them to understand this is serious. But then I think, you know what, I've taken them there. But I probably, when I start giving the good news, I'll not just talk about what Jesus did, but talk about what's await for us. Because that's where their hope began. They got saved anticipating that that was part of what they were going to get. And, man, I like preaching on heaven. I like preaching on heaven. I think, okay, well, sermon on hell gets somebody saved. Well, sermon on heaven's got a lot of people saved, too. I think we got to do that balance and that contrast. And then this is talking about the truth of the gospel. Verse 6 and 7, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. Here's some truths about the gospel. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world. It bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Now that's what a true conversion, understanding of the gospel leads to a true conversion is supposed to do for us. First of all, thank God it came to us. Came to us. I've told this story recently several times, but I don't know if I mentioned it here when I was out preaching, but you know, I say this, the same day, folks, my dad got two job offers the same day. A job offer when him and mom were lost before they got saved, living in Greencastle. They could have moved towards Terre Haute. They could have moved towards Indy. The same day, I think about the grace of God. Think about what God did. You know what? God saw to it that we got moved there. We had Christian neighbors. We got into a church where a preacher preached the gospel. The gospel came unto me. I don't want to just take that for granted. Man, God didn't have to do that, and he did it. He gave me an opportunity, and he said, it's come not just to you, it's come to the whole world. And it brings forth fruit. What is fruit? Proof. Proof. Proof of a change. Proof of an effect. It doth also in you since the day you heard it and knew of the grace of God in truth. And this is the same message that Epaphras preached. It was the same message that Paul preached, the same gospel. We talked about that common gospel, same gospel. Man, that's good, isn't it? Then I want to look at this last one. Does Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a reputation of love for the brethren? And it says in verse number 8, we jump down there, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So what is their threefold reputation? Faith in Christ Jesus, love to all the saints, hope in heavenly things, and then love mentioned again, your love in the Spirit. He mentions this again. Why? We read it. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I'm thinking, okay, this is what God kind of told me. All right, you want to be known for stepping out by faith, and that is a good thing. But you know what? You want to be twice as much known for love. You want to be known for the blessed hope. And man, you talk about a church that's looking skyward and expecting Jesus to come and excited about heavenly things. Let's have that reputation. But let's have twice the reputation for loving the brethren and loving in the Spirit. And then I thought to myself, how important is this matter of love? And I go through these verses regularly, so you're going to listen to them with me. And how important, how key is this? Don't just listen to the verses. Don't zone out. I want you to think about these verses as I read them. All through the New Testament, love is set aside in a special way. And folks, listen, as we're listening to these, just say, you know, do I have a real love for the saints of God? Do I have a love for the other people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Do I have a love for our senior saints and our married couples and our teenagers and the children? Is that love there? Now think about that as I read these verses. In Colossians 3, we read, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. By the way, all these things are good. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things. Wait a minute, above all what things? Mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving. Above that? Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Okay? It's not said about any of these other things. That's said about faith. That's not said about hope. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, above everything. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's so true. That's so true. All of us are going to mess up. We're not talking about hiding sin. We're talking about us being patient amongst each other with our shortcomings and our mistakes and our sin. We're talking about, you know what? Love just has a way of just saying, you know what? It was you today. It'll probably be me tomorrow. We still love you. We're for you. Let's help you get back up. I mean, folks, that's what the church needs to be. Matthew 22, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempted him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord God, thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second, he said, I'll go ahead and give you the second one. It's likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he goes on and makes this amazing statement. We could teach on all these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. John 15, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. What a standard. What a standard. Romans 13, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Show me the verse that says faith is the fulfilling of the law. Show me the verse that says hope is the fulfilling of the law. Folks, this is an amazing thing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What constrains me not to live for me, but instead to choose to live for Christ? The love of Christ constrains me to do that. Galatians 5, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. What a statement. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians chapter 5, envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like, of the which I tell you, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Number one, first one mentioned, joy, peace, long suffering, the rest of them. Ephesians chapter 3, for Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, this thing's important. Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, God himself and our Lord, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. You okay so far? I'm not done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He said, I shouldn't even have preacher even write about this. If you have any kind of relationship with God, the one thing he's teaching, the primary thing he's teaching, is that you love one another. Hebrews 13, 1, let brotherly love continue. James 2, if you fulfill the royal law, I love that. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. For if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then all of these verses in 1 John, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Again, chapter 4, same book. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. For he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Later on the same chapter, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is what the warning was to a really good church in the book of Romans. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Watch this. Could this be blessed hope? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And there's more. And I'll close by saying this. Obviously, read it. The greatest attribute of God is his love. I also believe that the overwhelming number one characteristic that a Christian should aspire to possess is love. A love for God and the ability to offer God's love to those around us. I mean, folks, if we can get there, all of these other things, I think, have a way of just following in behind, okay? And so what a reputation. What a reputation. Does Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a reputation for these things? The best way to answer that is to say, well, I'm Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's not the building, it's the people. We're all Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So maybe the best way I could answer that is to answer the question, do I have a reputation? And if not, Lord, give me a love. Give me a love for people. Break my heart. Help me to learn to understand. Teach me some patience. Help me to, maybe, Lord, you can let me hurt a little so I can think a little bit more about what it is for people when they're hurting. Maybe, Lord, you can help me to want a little so when somebody wants, I don't just have impatience. I'm not, impatient with them. Help me to just, Lord, instead of looking at people and just walking by them, care about them. And the whole world's looking for it. You know what? This isn't something you work up, conjure up. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something you pray down. You don't work up. And you get God's anointing on your life. And this church gets that anointing on their life. And there's a Spirit. By the way, I'm not talking about dropping standards. I'm not talking about becoming contemporary. But the thing that we ought to be the most known for is that old cold world out there. Some lost person walks in here. They ought to feel the love of God. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll have the invitation, and we'll do a business meeting. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you just bless the study. What a church. And I read those three things. Those three words just jumped off the page, and I thought, boy, you've said some things about that. And so, Lord, we want to be a church that steps out by faith. And we want to be a church, Lord, that stays excited and live in anticipation of heavenly things in the coming of Christ. But, Lord, more than either one of those, Lord, we want to develop a reputation of the church that loves people. So help us to do that, God. Help us, Lord, please. We can't do that on our own. That's not in Jerry Ross. If it's going to be in me, it has to come from you. And so, Lord, just let me be a conduit for your love. Lord, thank you for the love that you showed to me. Lord, I want to take that same love and just, Lord, be able to express that in a proper and holy and right way to everybody I come in contact with. And the world's convinced nobody cares. They need to see that somebody does. There's hate everywhere. What an atmosphere in the United States of America right now. Hate. Well, Lord, we grieve over it, but that gives us an incredible opportunity to show folks something different. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in Jesus' name.